Hello and welcome to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. I'm going to ask you about some images that are in my mind right about now. Listen to this. Do you feel like you're swimming upstream, or you're running on a treadmill and it's getting faster and faster, or you're on a plane landing and the runway is too short? To me, these are all signs of feeling like you're struggling in life. I want to introduce you to Roger Housden, an author, speaker, and motivator who's written a book, Dropping the Struggle, 7 Ways to Love the Life You Have. Roger, I am sure that this is a book that many people will want to know about, as so many people seem to be dissatisfied with their lives, right?
Right, yes. And thank you for those examples, Valerie. They're great.
So if you get what I'm saying with those images, because that's how I feel when I'm thinking about a struggle, tell me, Roger, what prompted you to write this book?
Well, a lifetime of struggle, I'd say, really. In other words, you know, I much like most people, have often struggled in areas of life where struggle simply doesn't work. Now, there are dimensions of our life where struggle is inevitable and necessary. I mean, after all, we struggle to be born, to come out of the womb. It's part of being human, part of life, really, to struggle. But when we struggle for things that really have to do with the more existential nature of our existence, of our life, for example, meaning, love, these kind of perennial longings that we have for the experience of meaning and purpose in life, the experience of love, struggling to make our life perfect in some way. I think after a period of time, certainly in my case, I came to see that, you know, struggling in that sense simply doesn't work. You know, and I came to realize, for example, with the question of meaning, which I always tended to project into the future. In other words, it was some goal or place that I was going eventually to arrive at, but that never really satisfied me in the present. It was when I really let go of that struggle to move towards something and began to sense that the only meaning I could possibly experience was where I was right at this very moment, and the willingness to let myself really fully experience the moment that I'm in. Mm-hmm. When that happens, the question of meaning no longer really arises.
Mm-hmm. You just take it off the table.
It falls off the table.
Right. So in this book that you have written, Roger, you have 7 ways. Let's talk about a few of these ideas that you have put out into the book. What are some concrete ways we can actually feel better about our lives?
You know, I think the fundamental thing is to become aware, not just conceptually, but actually viscerally, that the life we're living now at this moment, at this time, is really the only life we have. That is it. And we're so often not where we are. We're either in the past or in the future. Mm-hmm. And so, specifically, I think a very simple but helpful way to return us to where we are is, if we're quick enough, to bring our attention into the sensation in our body. So, for example, you know, if one is struggling internally, and usually struggle is a mental thing that's right. going on inside one's head. Shall I do this? Shall I do that? How am I going to do this? So all that is going on in the mind. And if one is able for a moment to bring one's attention, to begin with, say, into the left hand, and just fill the left hand with sensation, and then do the same with the right hand, and then do the same with both hands at the same time, so that your attention is in, fully in, your two hands. And you will notice, if you actually do that, that your energy has shifted from the struggle in your mind to where you are now, because the body is always where we are now. If we bring our attention to it, be it in the chest or in the hands, as I've just suggested, if we bring our attention to the body, then our attention really can't be in two places at once. It falls down from the mind, and our sense of struggle feels very different.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an excellent example of really changing your focus and your intention. So that is excellent concrete advice. Some other things we can do to help get out of this struggle.
You know, sometimes I think it takes a running up against a wall. And all of us at one time or another reach a point, whether it's in a relationship or it's in a work situation or life in general, where we simply have no idea what to do next. And that moment is both dangerous and also an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it's an opportunity in the sense that if we can really acknowledge the truth of our situation, which is we do not know what to do next or where to go next, if we can truly acknowledge that, again, not just in the mind, but as a felt sensation, that is feeling it viscerally in the body, you know, there's a kind of surrender that happens with that, a letting go to the reality of one's situation. You know, I'm always reminded of the extraordinary Arctic explorer, Ben Saunders, who set out to cross the Arctic on his own, you know, about 1,800 miles with absolutely no backup and no connection to the rest of humanity, found himself at one point struggling in obviously very sub-zero temperatures, but also howling wind, biting cold, pushing his head forward, and suddenly something snapped in him. He realized that there was nothing he could do about the conditions he was facing. He couldn't change the cold. He couldn't change the howling wind. And in that moment, he let go of all his resistance and struggle with the outside conditions. And as he let go of it, he found himself walking, continually walking onwards in a sense of wonder and even joy. And to be able to do that, of course, it's not an act of will. It's rather almost the opposite, an act of letting go of one's personal will and acknowledging the full truth of one's situation. And in acknowledging that, that is in surrendering really to one's present immediate circumstance, there is a liberation.
It's a great illustration. That makes so much sense. Roger Housden, as you speak to people and you do a lot of speaking engagements, in your experience, what is the overriding issue that you find troubles people? What's the number one issue?
Well, I live in California, in the Bay Area, which is very wonderful in many, many ways. But what I've heard and met over and over is the way in which people struggle really for their own version of what they think is the perfect life. So not just materially and physically, but, you know, struggling to get psychologically clear, struggling to spiritually improve themselves, you know, all of which can be valuable. Struggling also to get the right position of work. The perfect life as an idea, of course, is a fantasy, because life is fundamentally imperfect, because we are imperfect. I am, you are, we all are. You know, we're beautiful, beautiful vases with cracks in them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we come gradually to acknowledge, it does take time, come to acknowledge ourselves, the beauty of ourselves, simply for who we are, imperfections and all, you know, our sometimes desperate struggle to make everything just as we think it should be can fall away.
Yeah. I so appreciate everything that you are saying today on the program, Roger. It makes perfect sense. And I am very much looking forward to the book. It's Dropping the Struggle, 7 Ways to Love the Life You Have. And your website, Roger?
Is www.rogerhousden.com. That's RogerHousden.com.
Fantastic. Thank you, Roger. Appreciate your time on America Weekend.
Great to be with you, Valerie. Thank you.
I'm Valerie Smaldone on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend. Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. If a lullaby works for a child, will it work for you? Well, estimates run as high as 70% of the population will have trouble getting to sleep.
Doesn't anybody ever get any sleep around here?
Enough of the prescribed medications, over-the-counter pills, and warm milk. Maybe you need to know the developmental science of it. Mom may not be around to sing Rockabye Baby, but no worries. Use a modern-day substitute. 45 minutes before you hit the sack, turn off the raping, pillaging, murdering, and plundering of television, and turn on soft music as you prepare for bed. When you do, your heart rate and respiration will slow down.
Bingo, that's it.
What's the cheap psychological trick? Quiet, calming music will soothe the savage beast in you and prep you for a better slumber and a good night's rest. You know, you can send me an email at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. Sue Smith always hated her boring name. So one day she told her bank, the post office, and credit card company that her name was now Melody Music. She even got a new driver's license under the name Melody Music. She didn't fill out any legal documents with the court. She just changed her name because she wanted to. Is this legal? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Can you legally change your name anytime you want to? Yes. In most states, it's called common usage, and it's perfectly legal as long as it's not for fraudulent intent. And that's the final verdict.